Okay, we're going to dig into the Word of God tonight, but there's a verse I want to bring to your attention, but I want you to just listen. It's in the middle of Ephesians chapter 5, and it talks about not being unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and the verse preceding the verse I want to mention talks about wisdom. So if we are to strive not to be foolish, could you just imagine tonight we go to leave church, and the pastor and his dear wife jump in the car. And as they're driving down the road, some of you are following him, he's throwing $20 bills out the window, just as many as he can grab his hands on. Would that be foolish? Would that be wasteful? Yeah. Can't even imagine that. But yet we do the same with our time. And truly wise homes redeem the time. They make sure that they get full value out of the time and don't waste it. My whole life is teens, and I'm telling you, if they could just be taught some time management, it would totally change their lives. If every single one of us would keep a little record of what we would do every hour for 1 week, and then maybe we would see how much time we do waste. Now, I know it's good to keep up with the news, but did you know that Fox News repeats every 11 minutes? So if you watch it for a half hour, you've seen the same thing three times, okay? So learning to redeem the time is important. What should motivate us to do what is right? This morning, we dealt with this dark side of the world and the media, and it's yucky, and we all hate that aspect, how easy it is for kids and adults, men and women, to jump into. So there needs to be something that would motivate our heart. Why? Why did Pastor even ask me to come and preach on this weekend? So I'm sitting at the Wilds of New England on our porch, and I've got a husband and wife, probably mid to late 30s, early 40s, and the husband is totally addicted to pornography. The wife knows it. The marriage is struggling. And so they wanted to meet. I said, yeah, we'll meet. And all I ask is the most simple question in the world. I say, hey, I'm glad you're meeting with me. I can help you. Why? Why do you want to stop? Why do you want to quit going to all the porn? He said, because I feel like a jerk. I said, okay. Any other reason? Because my wife, she's always mad at me. Okay. Our young kids, if they find out, they're going to really look down on me. He said, okay. And he kept going on. Do you notice what was in every single one of those phrases? I. I don't want to be a loser. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to get people talk about me at church. And I don't want to lose my job. And I don't want to feel like a loser all the time. And finally, I said, stop. You didn't even mention your love for your wife, your love for your kids, or your love for God. You didn't even mention that. And if you guys struggle, if any of us in here struggle with this and choose to quit just because we feel like a loser, well, you might as well just bring a psychiatrist in here, okay? And deal with some behavior modification. That is not what this is all about. It's all about loving God and loving others so much. You don't want to hurt them. You don't want to disappoint them. So, what does God ask us to do? And this is probably going to be one of the most simplistic answers that we will have up here. And we're going to get up here on the screen here. Can you read that word? What is it? Read. Very good. Very good. Read. Read. And we go to church, some of you have been, I look around, some of you have been going to this church for 112 years, okay? And read. And pastors tell me all the time, if I could just get my men, my ladies, if I could just get the teens to read the Bible, it would literally change their life. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it with me. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it again. Just the men?
Read, examine, apply, do.
Just the ladies?
Read, examine, apply, do.
All the teams up to 30. Very good. Okay, you ready? I want you to read something with me out loud. Ready? Here we go. If you can read this, you have a strange mind too. Can you read this? Only 55 people out of 100 can. I couldn't believe that I could actually understand what I was reading. The phenomenal power of the human mind, according to a research at Cambridge University, it doesn't matter in what order the letters in a word are. The only important thing is that the first and the last letter be in the right place. The rest can be a total mess, and you can still read it without a problem. This is because the human mind does not read every letter by itself, but the word as a whole. Amazing, huh? Yeah, and I always thought spelling was important. You guys are good. If you can read this, I know you can read. Okay, when it comes to your kids, look here. A child that reads for 20 minutes a day, when it comes time for their testing at the end of high school and all, they will score in the 90th percentile. Just 20 minutes a day. But then those that drop into maybe 5 minutes a day, they drop to 50%. And I don't know who reads 1 minute a day unless they're reading the road signs on the way to school. I really don't know. But they're down to 10%. I found this online. I thought it was very interesting. It kind of goes with what I said, what we did with our kids when they were growing up. But when it comes to earning daily screen time, eat breakfast, get dressed, brush your teeth, brush your hair, make your bed, do chores. I love this one. Play outside for 30 minutes. Kids need to do that. Read for 30 minutes. Do something creative. Do something helpful. And until these 10 things are done, no screen time. Read. Say the four words with me. Read, examine, apply, do. Why? So God asked Paul to write this down. Paul writes, I charge you by the Lord. This is something God, the creator of the universe, asked me to share with you. That this epistle, specifically 1 Thessalonians, be read to all the holy brethren. Read. Read the Bible out loud. Read it quietly to yourself. Read it to your kids. Kids, read it to your parents. Read the Word of God. Why? Well, number one, there's so many good reasons. And this one study by Robert West to settle the issue of salvation, to grow spiritually, to be encouraged by God. And by the way, when you get in the habit of getting up early in the morning and open up His precious Word, it's almost like God meets you with a special spiritual hug every day. It really is. Receive personal guidance, arm yourself against Satan's forces, to teach God's truth to others, to counsel your Christian friends, verify the teaching of others as truth, to share Christ with unbelieving friends, to present ourselves approved to God. These are just 10 biblical reasons why we should read. But let's look at a couple others. Bible's on the front lines. In some places in our world, it's difficult to have a Bible. In other places, it's dangerous, and still other places, it's even illegal. Brave men and women are risking arrest, beatings, imprisonment, and even death to simply get God's word into the hands of otherwise those who would never have it. Look at the smile on these kids' faces. That they finally get a Bible story about Jesus, or they finally have something that they literally can open up and read. And sadly, most of us have 5 or 6 or maybe more Bibles in our home, and we all have them on our phones. And it would be cool if we could even give God 15 minutes a day. This is one of my buddies, one of my heroes. His name is Sebi. He's 6. This is my grandson. They're visiting, and I walked into his bedroom and I saw this. It was 6 in the morning. He's not allowed up till 6. But 5:59, he's ready to get up. I said, buddy, what you doing? Having my devotions. What are you reading there? From Joshua. Do you understand what you're reading? Hey, buddy, you want to read it to Papa? Sure. So he reads through the whole chapter. Now, he's 6. I know that there is no way he understands what he's reading. I know this. And he reads the whole chapter. I said, well, buddy, that's good. Do you know what you read? And he looks at me like I'm crazy. Papa, people forget all the time. They even forget what God does. So God told him to put all those rocks in a big pile so they'd never forget what he did. He's six. Do you know why Sebi gets up and spends time in the Word of God? Because he has a dad who is a college professor in a state college, busy man, that hardly ever misses a morning getting up early in the morning before he has to go to work and reads the Word of God. And I'm telling you, reading the Word of God is contagious. So, Mom, if your daughter is as faithful in God's Word as you are, is this a good thing? Dad, if your kids totally follow your example in how faithful you are and consistent you are in the Word of God, would you be excited about their spiritual growth? Why don't we read? If we don't, why? Well, there's a couple reasons. One, busyness. Maybe we should ask, what should I not do? Because you say, oh, Rand, I tell you, my life is so busy. I mean, by the time I get everything taken care of and so forth, and I can't even keep my eyes open when I go to sleep and go to bed, and I just fall into bed. Okay, so what you're telling me is you are too busy for God. Then you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. If you're too busy to take this precious book and open it and spend time with God, then you're too busy. So maybe we should go to the second one, laziness. Why do I put it off? You know, a lot of guys used to say, I don't read books. I'd rather see the movie. So I'm just going to watch The Chosen over and over and over, okay? I think sometimes it's because we're too lazy. And there are times that we probably should just sit down and be honest with ourselves. Why do we or why don't we? Number three, selfishness. Why do I do what I do every day? Some of you said, no way, Rand. I read, I got that 10-minute plan, I read it every single day. Well, I hope it's for the right motivation and reason, and not that you're getting a little checklist here that'd be right with God. Oh, you got to read, a chapter a day will keep the devil away. That's not a good song, okay? But we have to ask ourselves, why? Why? So ladies, next Tuesday night, just think. Your husband comes home, and if he's already retired, he's been gone to town, he comes home, he knocks on the door. You open the door, and he's looking at you, and from behind his back, he hands you a dozen long-stem roses. Now, it's not quite Mother's Day yet, okay? You're thinking, is it my birthday? No. And you say, why the roses? It's my duty as a husband. Would that take the love out of it a little bit, okay? What if Jesus came here tonight and walked through those doors and he just says, Bob, so good to see you. Why are you here tonight? It's my duty as a husband, as a Christian. And we have to ask ourselves why we do what we do. Now, all of us are smart enough to know that just if we sit down and read so many minutes, that does not make God love you a little bit more. Oh, yeah, it does. No, it doesn't, because he's immutable. He's unchanging. He doesn't love us more when we're really, really good or less when we're really, really bad. He just loves us. How much? Let's go back to the teen girls and that word so in John 3:16. He loves us so much that he sent his son to die. Why? Why should we read, examine, apply, and do? Because I love the Lord, and he wants me to. This should be the number one motivating reason in our heart. Because I love God. Wives, could you imagine your husband never, ever, ever talking to you? Ever? Say, I talked to you at our wedding day. Isn't that good enough? There wouldn't even be a relationship, would there? When there's no communication. And I love this. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He says, be zealous then. Be fervent. And if you're struggling with these kinds of things, then I want you to turn and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now be careful. So often we love to use this verse for salvation. And you stand at the door of our heart knocking and we say, come in, we get saved. That's not the context. Do you know what kind of door he's knocking on? An apathetic church that one time used to love him more and would spend a lot of time with him, and now they're too busy for him. Now they're so wrapped up with all their material possessions and their busyness of life that they don't have time anymore. He says, I stand at this door and I knock, and if any man will hear my voice and just open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The word sup, Charlie Brown and Snoopy got it well. When it was supper time, it's supper time. Yeah, it's supper time. And Charlie Brown would say, can't you just eat your meal like a normal dog? The sup means to feast, to banquet, to dine. My favorite meal of the whole year is Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving dinner. The kids come. You don't have to worry about the presents. I get up early with Amber, and whatever we do, I'm not sure why. I'm not a cook. But we take that old bird, and we clean it up. And then Amber takes handfuls of mayonnaise and slathers it all over the thing. It's supposed to make it real crusty brown or something, okay? And then she always pats it and thanks it for giving its life for us, okay? And then we put it into the oven about 5:30, 5:45, so it has a long time to slowly cook. And, oh, about 11, 11:30, you smell it. Oh, and that aroma just permeates the house. And then you finally get the kids around. You're standing in front of this table, and you have a turkey and the dressing, and then you have the mashed potatoes, and you have the green beans and the sweet potatoes. And I think, oh, I regret that I have but one stomach for this meal, you know. And then we start eating, and we laugh, and we eat some more, and we talk, and we eat some more, and we laugh. I mean, we do. We hang out for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And we get full all the way to here because I got to save this for pumpkin pie that's coming later. You know what we do with God? We go through McDonald's drive-thru to get something fast, quick, and easy and go on our way. That's the difference. He wants to sup, to banquet, to feast, to dine. He really does. And if you remember the picture, the old picture of Christ in the garden knocking on the door, did you ever notice there's no doorknob? He doesn't force his way in. Why? Could he? Yes. Why doesn't Jesus force his way in and mandate that we spend this time with him? Because if he did this, we would once again read and obey and sup because we had to, but not necessarily because we wanted to. You know, we live in a world that has all kinds of incredible inventions, especially when it comes to all kinds of robots, you know? And robots are cool, especially the real famous ones like R2-D2 and 3CPO. Okay, there's some famous ones. And today you can take a robot and program that robot to quote the Bible in 50 different languages. You can today put a drone on that robot and drop him off at church 15 minutes early, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And then you can hook up your bank account to that robot. So automatic withdrawal, he will perfectly tithe every single Sunday. But you know what you cannot program a robot to do? To love. You can't. And God is not interested in filling heaven up with a bunch of well-programmed robots and empty-headed puppets. Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of all? To obey me and do right. That's not what he said. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and strength. And then I want you to love others in much the same way. The motive is for us to spend time with him because we love him. I don't even like phrases like I'm doing devotions. I'm spending time with God. And when you spend that time, that kind of time with God, all of a sudden the world, it does, it disappears. Remember I told you about Sebi? When he gets his 20 minutes time, he looks at the clock. The other day I was right in the middle of the life of Joseph. He's just about ready to tell his brothers who he was. And I'm looking at the clock thinking, stink, I got to go to work. Oh, I got to hurry up. And you want to get to the point where when you wake up in the morning and spend time with God, and then you look at the clock think, oh, I got to go to work. Hey, I'm just getting up half hour earlier. I mean, I'm going to go to bed a little bit earlier so I can get up earlier so I have a little bit more sweet time with the Lord early in the morning. Read, say it with me. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it again if you're over 50.
Read, examine, apply, do.
Some of you ladies didn't do that. Okay. Read. Read a New Testament letter once a day for 30 days. You take like Philippians, it'll take you 9 minutes and 30 seconds to read. I'm talking about all 4 chapters in one sitting, but you do it every single day. Every day, by the time you get to the end of the month, it's your friend, okay? You say, Rand, I am really busy. Then do Philemon. It only takes a minute and 45 seconds. But read it every day. Break the gospel down to 3 or 4 sections. You take the book of Mark, okay? It's like only 16 chapters. It's the shortest gospel. And it was almost like Mark was a teenager when he was writing this thing. Because he says what Jesus does, and then he puts the word and in between. He healed this guy, and he walked on water, and he fed 5,000. He was just excited about what God was doing. And reading the gospel through, it's exciting. Read about Bible topics. Yeah. Bible topics. Okay, let's see. I'm going to pick on somebody here, okay? What is your name again?
James.
Okay, James. You're out of school. How old are you?
I'm 22.
22, okay. Just suppose James, he's just talking with a bunch of the teens here, maybe even some young guys like in 7th and 8th grade. And they came to him. They said, James, I tell you, you know, the stuff that Rand was preaching on, oh, I struggle. Why would they come to James? Well, if James for the past year would say, I want to help my friends, and I'm going to take an extra half hour to an hour every night, and I'm going to study every verse in Scripture I can find that deals with thought life and meditation, and wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, purity. Okay. All right, Anna Grace, is that right? Just suppose Anna Grace, she works with these kids on the bus, and even little kids can be filled with fear and anxiety from the homes they come from. So you know what Anna Grace does? She takes 1 year, and she studies every verse she can on fear and anxiety and trusting God. She, you guys become the go-to counselors for young people in your church who are struggling with these areas. You become a professional in a way, not really, because you're not going to get paid for it, but you're going to become a professional to help. Read about Bible characters. Do you have some favorites? I tell you, I'm serious. When I get to heaven, I especially on the new earth, I'm setting up a time to get with John. I want to go to a coffee shop and hang out with him. You say coffee shops in heaven? I doubt it'll be Starbucks. Maybe it'll be called Hebrews. I don't know. But anyway, we're going to go to a coffee shop. And I want to sit down. I say, what was it like to just be that close? I believe he was the youngest apostle, okay, on earth at that time. Then I believe he became the oldest. But just to watch Jesus do his miracles, that must have been so cool. Or sit down with Joshua and say, Joshua, oh, I so understand why you were scared so much. And why God kept telling you, be strong, be not afraid, be strong, be not afraid. I'm there with you, but your stuff was scarier than mine. Have you ever read the Bible chronologically? You can get what's called a one-year Bible. It even has the dates. It will take about 15 minutes a day to go all the way through. But as one young Christian, she was saying, you know, I started reading about Esther, and I'm sorry. I didn't stop when I was supposed to, and I kept on reading. I had to find out what happened in the end. Do you remember when the Bible was that special to you? That you would read and you'd even get way far ahead on it? And chronologically, it's so cool as you're reading. You get into Samuel and stuff and Kings, and then you're reading about all the Psalms while David's hiding in the caves, and finally you get to Ezra and Nehemiah, and what in the world? The Old Testament is done. And then you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's like ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox, and they're telling you the same thing in a different way. You go to the book of Acts, and you're following Paul, and he's going all over. And Philippi, you read Philippians, and then you go to Thessalonica. Before you know it, you're crawling into Revelation. And you're praying, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. Read. Say it with me. Read, examine, apply, do. How do we examine the Word of God? Sometimes we think this is just like a pastor's job to do for us. Here's what they did in Nehemiah's time. They read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and they gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. There's more than just check mark, I read. You want to read with understanding. You say, I don't understand this, and read a second time. Get a commentary. Do whatever you can to make sure you grab a hold of the truths of that. And then if you're still stumped, then you come to the pastors and say, please help me. What does this mean? But you should be able to read the Word of God so distinctly you can teach it to others. Or share that real special little note to that granddaughter. Or teens, that special note to maybe even that elderly great-grandmother that's in a nursing home that can't even get out. Grandma, let me tell you what God taught me today. Do you even understand what a joy that can be for them? Read. Find out who and what and when and where and why and how. Examine. Dig into it. Find out what is going on. And it is amazing. You say, but Rand, if I'm going to read, I want to read something exciting, you know? Well, how about six-fingered and six-toed giants? And how about sea monsters? And a man that can slay 1,000 men with just a bone in his hand. You say, well, I'm a girl and I like the romance stuff. How about a prince that rides on a white horse and comes and rescues his bride from a wicked world and takes her off and she forever and forever they live happily ever after? That's the Bible. That's Scripture. It's such an exciting book. Read, say it with me. Read, examine, apply, do. Turn to the person next to you, look in their eyes and say it, go. Read, examine, apply, do. How do we apply? This morning we slowly walk through this passage where all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The precious Bible comes from God. And as we see here, it is profitable. Doctrine, teaching us what is right. Reproof, teaching us what is wrong. Correction, how to make the wrong right. Instruction, how can I keep it right? Read the Word of God. Okay? And the last word, do. Say it with me, do. This is the secret of retention. Has anyone ever told you, have I told you this 1,000 times? Parents, have you ever wondered if you're saying something, said it goes in one ear, what, out the other? I realize as a preacher, especially to teens, that what I am telling them, they're only going to retain about 5%. I do an awful lot of time and study and work for them to only remember 5%. So I'm telling you, I'm going to do everything I can do to trick them. Because here in this study, the lecturing is 5%. But if they can read it and there's a visual, I bump it all the way to 20. That's why I use PowerPoint so much. Now I already got them up to 20%, okay? Well, then if we demonstrate and talk and all of us say together and discussion with it, then if somehow I can get them to actually do what they're reading, we're all the way up to 75%. And then if these teenagers be willing to do bus ministries and teach Sunday school classes, to go to nursing homes and read the Bible to people that can't even hardly get out of bed, now we're up to 90%. This study took years and millions of dollars. I wish they would have called me. I would have done it for $500,000, and I would have taken the one verse of scripture, be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. When you do it, you remember it. Somebody gives you directions. Okay, this was pre-Siri, take me to whatever. So they give you directions. Oh, I hope I can find it. But once you drive there, you do it, right? Then you can remember it. Do the word of God. Do the word of God. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because honestly, you think you're really kind of getting special points with God because you just come to church? God says you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself if you're not simply doing what we hear taught over and over here. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to what? To say it. To do all that's written therein. You see, but Rand, life is busy and I want to be successful and I want to be prosperous. Look at, God will take care of that. You meditate in the word of God, then you'll be prosperous. Then you'll have good success. You take Psalm 119. Would you quote the first one together with me? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. How many of you believe that that verse is true? Let me see your hands high. Sweet. I'm almost done. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to pick four or five of you. And I want you to stand up. And I want you good and loud to share with us one or maybe two of the verses that you have personally memorized in your personal devotions the last couple weeks. Because I promise you, whatever you're memorizing will be a great blessing for everybody else, okay? Let's start with, hi, everybody's looking away from me all of a sudden. I'm not going to call on anyone. You know why? Probably be pretty quiet in here. If I had your kids and teens stand up and say, hey, tell me one verse that mom and dad shared with you that they've memorized in the last couple weeks. This is not confusing. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. And we still get angry with each other and fight. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. And we still struggle with fear and anxiety. It doesn't even make sense. God tells us what to do, and we don't do it. Look at the next one. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. The concept of meditation is an agricultural term, and it comes from, and you probably understand this, from a cow ruminating or chewing their cud. How many of you live on a farm? Let me see. Okay. How many have ever been on a farm? How many of you have ever sang Old MacDonald Had a Farm? Okay. I grew up working on a farm. So I'm going to make this real easy, Pastor. The girl cows, that's where we get the milk from. You know, the white ones, white milk, black ones, chocolate milk, you got all that, okay? So they get up early in the morning, they eat the grain or eat the grass. If they eat at 6 in the morning and they get hungry at 8:30 or 9, they don't have to eat again. They ruminate. They chew their cud. They take that food they ate at 6 and they burp it back up into their mouth. They chew it up and they put it in a separate stomach. God gave them a couple of them. 2 o'clock, they get hungry again. They just puke it back up in their mouth, chew it up again, swallow it again. Ladies, aren't you glad that God made cows like cows and not men like cows? I'm serious. We could be sitting in here right now, and all of a sudden, you know, Jordy over here gets a little bit hungry, and he says, I had some good chicken for lunch. Bring it. Okay, no, we don't do that. But the reason a cow does that is she wants to get every nutrient out of that. So you think about every word and go over and over. Then I will delight myself in thy statutes. I love this last part. I will not forget thy word. So your wife says something that's uncalled for. Because come on, ladies, sometimes you can get pretty moody, can't you? Some of you are so moody, you have honorary doctorates from Moody Bible Institute. You're moody. And the husband, you just say something, and guys, you know, it's like, and you're ready to get angry. Watch. She says something. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted. Come on, man. You can handle this. Right in the midst of temptation. Right in the midst of trial, when you hear words like miscarriage and cancer. Lord, I can't. I know I can't. But I know you can give me the whatever to get through this, please. I can do all things through you. I know I can be empowered by the power of your might. I need you, God. You told me to come to your throne of grace in time of need, and oh, I am in need. Right in the midst of trial, right in the midst of temptation, you do not forget the word of God because you have read it and examined it and you have applied it and you have done the word of God. I want to share a secret for you. Some of you are sitting there and saying, Rand, this memorization thing, at my age, I just can't do it. How do you memorize the word of God? You ready? Read. You read a verse or passage, say Psalm 23, 5 times a day for 30 days, you will have it memorized. Don't memorize it, read it. Over and over and over and over, and it will be yours. How do you meditate? Read. You see, I've already read about Joseph. Read it again. You'll find stuff that you never saw before. How do I master it? Read. And the second the temptation or the trial comes, you say, oh, I just read that this morning. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it with me. Read, examine, apply, do. So why don't we read? Whenever you take anything out of your life, never leave a vacuum. Always replace with something better. I challenge all of us to unplug the phone, the iPad, the computer, the Chia Pet, whatever it is you use at home, and pick up your Bible and read. Let's pray. Father, we know what you love. Help us to love what you love as much as you would love for us to do it. You've given us your precious word written over hundreds of years by many authors, and it is amazing. It's exciting. It's convicting. I pray that you would convict our hearts. Forgive us, dear Lord, for not reading your word like we should. Help us to manage our time wisely and to redeem the time, to be wise in that, so we have more time to read your precious, precious word. Thank you for it, Father. We couldn't live without it. But I do. I pray that once again today was not just a day of services, but this would be the beginning of some incredible, victorious living because people learn to love you more because they spend so much time talking to you. And having have you talk to them. So thank you for your precious word that you have given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people that know that they need to read more said, amen. Pastor?